We're talking about crisis counseling. Okay, I don't know why I'm talking to track two about crisis counseling. You guys must be really advanced. But that's what we're doing. So strap on, because we're going to be talking about some tough things to break through, some tough rocks, some tight knots, and how do you get through that? How do you get the help to do that? You know, one of the places in scriptures I would go if I'm thinking about crisis, and I've gone there in my own crisis. Anybody here been in a crisis before? Okay. That qualifies you to help others, okay? If you haven't, you're not old enough, or, you know, you may not even be a believer. All right. So, here we go. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 18 says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay." Amen. "To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." That's why you're competent to counsel. "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." So I'm dying to live, and I'm dying to give life. Aren't you dying to give life to others? So death is at work in us, but life in you. "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, 'I believed and so I spoke,' we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you," I love that, "into his presence." So let's get as many people to come to the party with us. "For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." So we do not lose heart. Okay, I want you all to say that. We do not lose heart. Even though we've been here too long sitting here in the same place. This is for you. Okay, though the outer self is wasting away, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Amen. "For this light and momentary affliction," which I've never really thought about it, but okay, "is preparing us for the eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." That is a great perspective to go into crisis counseling with. They won't have that perspective when they come to you, typically. Okay? But you need to have it and remind them of it. What am I talking about, though? Here, let me tell you some of the things I think qualify for crisis counseling. Sexual abuse, incest, moral failure, deep emotional dysfunction, significant relational pain. Better call the professionals. Really? Really? I was a professional. I was a psychologist for years. I didn't know what to do with these people. Why were you calling me, church? Really? You're going to send your sheep to a goat? Doesn't make any sense, but we do. But you know where I want to send them? I want to send them to you. I want us to embrace the most hurting people in the church within the church body. I think that's God's vision. Why? Because we can't preach it and not live it. The sufficiency of Scripture, but hey, this is over my head. Well, of course it's over your head. Duh. You know, God knew that when he sent the person into your life. He's growing you. You think you're in this thing for somebody else? Really? You are wanting to love other people through this, but God is at work in you. He wants you to believe what you preach and teach and talk about. He wants to close the gap between what you say you know and what you really know. And he'll do it through crisis, either in your life or someone else's. I kind of like it when it's somebody else's, but but sometimes that doesn't get me deep enough. Because, you know, we can handle these issues without a PhD. Because 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6 talks about the sufficiency coming through Christ, and really from God, and competency coming from his Spirit. So what is intensive counseling? It's for times of crisis. This is the answer to crisis, is to get them into a more intensive, probably going to take longer, it's probably going to be more intrusive in your life, but it's what's necessary for this level of care. More seamless, I'll explain that in a minute. More, not a Band-Aid approach. More sensitive to context and community, and involves key caregivers and advocates. It's not going to, listen, I already sold you guys on the advocate thing, you know, yesterday, but let me tell you something. When somebody's in crisis, I wouldn't have to convince you that you need somebody else in the room and you need to be, you know, somebody else out in the other 120 whatever hours of the week walking hand in hand with them, unless you want them calling you all hours of the day, unless you want to be that person, which you could be, but you might not be able to do that for too many people. So you need to multiply yourself. Think of it as a continuum from intentional discipleship to intensive discipleship or crisis counseling. Okay? And when you get over on this side, you need more help. Crisis counseling is really intensive care. It's get dirty, hands-on, calling audibles, not always knowing what you're doing, throwing your hands up and getting on your knees kind of counseling. No dropped calls here. You have to have hands on them, hands on the community around them, and all eyes on Christ. Please don't put a Band-Aid on an infected wound. It'll just be worse off down the road. You have to get after it. No fixing them. It's you coming alongside and bringing them to the cross. Listen, who is helping them is very important, not just how we help them. Context is very important, not just the content of our counseling. So I want you to think a little bit about those things as we go on through this conversation. The person that is helping them, the people that are helping them become very important, and the context by which you help them becomes very important. By the way, God uses hardship. You know, crisis in Chinese means dangerous opportunity. And isn't it? You know, God breaks us. Actually, he reveals our brokenness through crisis. He allows these trials into our life for very, very good reason, and we need to be able to see what those reasons are. One way of thinking about a crisis or when time gets really tough is, imagine this being your heart, right? Now, what happens if a crisis comes and squeezes your heart? Stuff, yeah, whatever's in there is coming out. If it's pure water, it might get you a little wet, but it's not going to cause much damage. But if it's toxic, look out. So God wants to reveal our hearts through those times, and he wants us to see our need for him. But he does want to redeem our pain. It makes us desperate, but he doesn't waste an ounce of that if we draw close to him. And a counselor who is taking people through crisis begins to use community very well.